As I have a look at my co-host in Laurie Daly, he's got the royal blue of Godolphin actually on. I think he's joined the juggernaut, the blue army. James Cummings leads that blue army. He joins us on the line. G'day, James.
Hey, TK. Hey, Laurie. How you guys going?
Yeah, really good. Do you still get excited about Derby Day?
Oh, well, you know, big days like this that horse trainers are lucky enough to get on your show. I'm a long time.
Anytime.
Listener, I'm just about a first time interviewee with the Godolphin Blue on. I listen to you guys talk about sport week in, week out, and I'm driving from one piece of track work to another. And I think you guys do a great job. You've got a great sense of sporting ethos out there, and I can tell all your listeners think the same.
Yeah. Oh, good on you, James. That's
Thank
nice. You were one of our favourites until I'll tell Laurie that James actually beat Slats and I in a celebrity dash down the Randwick Straight, and ever since then he wore spikes.
I think I had a better farrier than you that day, though, from memory.
Yeah, in about 20 and 30 years, honestly. hey, James, exciting times, mate. And obviously, Laurie's quite keen on Osborne Bulls, who was just a cracking run in the Everest, mate.
Yeah, he went terrific in the Everest, and that was his first big performance at Wait for Age, too. So the difficult thing about that, though, Laurie, the horse, for the sake of it, goes up a couple of kilos in the handicaps, so he's going to have to be very good to carry the 59 kilos here against some really strong horses up the straight for the first time. But he's carried weight before and in nice victories in the past. So that tends to be an important factor when you're worried about horses carrying those weights.
Yeah, I just looked at the run in the Everest, and I know it's different conditions, and it's a different field, but I thought very, very impressive in the Everest. And to go wide and along the fence, I just thought it was a smart ride, unlucky not to have finished closer, but I thought it was a terrific run.
He's
a beautiful, he's going very well. Be wary of the horse Runston. Although he's failed up the straight before, he set a track record at Moonee Valley, and he's on the 8-day backup.
Yeah, he will. And mate, just for our listeners and our viewers, James, what do you think will happen down the straight? Will they come down the middle, the inside fence, or go outside?
Well, I don't think that it'll be too different to the way they've been competing there recently. So I'd be leaning towards saying they'll come the stand side.
Yeah, the stand side. Yeah. And that I think that's what happened.
Middle of the track or stand side.
Yeah. Liam O'Keefe, the track manager, gave us that sort of an indication as well.
How confident are you in the Derby, James, with Aramea?
Look, I think he's one of the horses I have going to the race day there tomorrow in the best order. I'm really delighted with the horse. I'm wrapped with his program and the way he's continued to improve. He's had six solid runs under his belt now. He wasn't at all that comfortable at Moonee Valley, coming from a position last weekend where horses just were struggling all day to run on from, and yet he still was bowled to the line, finishing third. He'll enjoy stepping up to the testing trip of a mile and a half. Bred for that, that's the style of horse. This is a horse I'm confident is going to run well.
Yeah. Do you look back on old videos of the Derby and see how the races have been run, or is it strictly different year, different fields, you can take nothing out of those races previously?
No, we often look back at videos because it's amazing how often history can repeat itself, big events like these. So that is the case, but it's also a case of appreciating the relevant videotapes of your opposition. So thinking big, I think you guys, I heard you touching on it earlier. He's a bold front-running horse. He likes to go forward and dictate and use his strength. I mean, he was doing it against the two-year-olds when he was winning two-year-old races, and nothing's changed now that he's up in distance. But he hasn't come up against a horse like Savoir, who also likes to get up there and eyeball for the lead and go at a strong pace. And that horse was just narrowly touched off last time, and that was in the same race as Aramea, running second in the bars, that Dean Yendall claimed on the day that the television van, a television truck on the inside, caused his horse to shy, and then cost him the victory in a nail-biting finish. So that horse will be right up there and making it a solid test too.
He's, mate, the old warrior for your stable in so many ways, Hartnell. How's the old bloke going?
Oh, he's really flying, Hartnell. just in a rich vein of form. He's feeling great about himself. He had to be pleased with the entire campaign so far. And his last two starts in the handicap Group 1 mile races has been very impressive. Now the 1,600-metre Randwick track record holder. And I think if he can take that courage of carrying these top weights into this race tomorrow, then I think he'll be one of the top three chances, that's for sure.
And what about in the last, mate? You've got a couple, Rezin and Jorda.
Yeah, look, they've found their way into a very hard race here. It's going to be a Group 3 listed in the race book, but I think it's sort of a Group 1 in disguise, really. These are good mares. I'm excited, absolutely flying, and the horse from within has just been airborne since the change of stable. So I think they're going to need to go to another level. Jorda will appreciate getting back on top of the ground after a sticky track last time at Caulfield, and was unlucky to start before, held up. But Rezin was very impressive her last start, and she needs to bring that form on top of the ground. But she's got a bit of class about her, and if she can sort of carry on with that form, then I think she's going to be there about.
And what about the big one on Tuesday, mate, Avilius?
Mate, I'm looking at that. I'm looking at that horse as we speak. He's got his head buried in his feed bin. He's happy. I think we're bringing him along to his peak run on Tuesday, and we've got to be confident that the horse is absolutely thriving. Come out of the Coffs Plate, high pressure race, and just been bouncing out of his skin. Really, you'd think we're setting him for the Oakley Plate, not the Melbourne Cup. The way he's bouncing around, full of energy, and that's a great sign for a horse. Deep into his campaign, stepping up to the 2 miles.
Mate, do the other Godolphin trainers, do they give you much, mate? How do you line up, you know, like a horse like Avilius to, you know, like a cross counter that we haven't seen race in this country, but it's the second or third favourite for the Melbourne Cup cross counter?
Yeah, look, he's a lightly raced horse. I think he's in with a great chance. I think Charlie's delighted with the weight the horse has got, and Kerry McAvoy's been riding the horse in a couple of gallops and has been pleased. Well, Charlie's pretty confident that that's the right sort of horse. Syed's horse was left alone after winning the Caulfield Cup, and when was the last Caulfield Cup winner carrying that weight that never got penalised going into the Melbourne Cup? I can't remember one ever. And you know, if that horse can bring that sort of run to 2 miles, how are they going to get past him? He just looked like he was running through brick walls at the end of a mile and a half. And Syed was bullish all week. He was so bullish after winning Group 1s with Ben Battle and Best Solution there.
Yeah.
He was tipping to the Moonee Valley Race Club Breakfast with the Stars that he was ready to beat Winx in the Cox Plate.
I'm sure he'll be
getting back on the plane, you know, pretty confident that he's capable of continuing Best Solution's good form into the Cup.
Yeah, he's a $15 chance currently. And you know the spy, Andrew Bensley, tells me Home of the Brave had a jump out here this morning at Flemington.
Yeah, he doesn't miss much, Andrew Bensley. He's all over it. That horse did have a jump out. Damien Lane was delighted with his effort, and they've had a really strong final 600 metres just to have a good blowout, as, of course, we haven't seen the horse race. It's really good. Group 1, Sir Rupert Clark. So that'll be an interesting runner in the... He'll be an interesting runner in the VRC Sprint next weekend. There's not too many horses that are up near the lead and running well in those sprints outside of Red Zell, and I'd like to see him be one of them.
James, good luck, mate. The stable is flying. I'm sure it's a massive job. Well, I know it's a massive job. You're doing a great job, and you're welcome any time on the program, mate.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
There he goes, James Cummings, doing a great job with Godolphin as the head trainer.
Yeah, I think he's in for a big carnival, TK. He's got some nice horses. I like the way that he goes about it. Always under pressure, you know, training for Godolphin, but he's handling himself beautifully.
Absolutely.
And he's got his, as you said there before, the stable is flying.
Yeah, I don't think they've ever won the Derby. So, you know, that would be a great feather in James's cap as well if he could win the Derby, the Victoria Derby for Godolphin.
Yeah, it would be. And I was interested to read, you know, there's no more successful Melbourne Cup trainer than his grandfather in Bart. And I was sort of reading there through the week that he's taken the same path,
10,000K
with Avilius into the Melbourne Cup. So, fingers crossed that it works out well for him. But of course, first up tomorrow, he's got a number of runners on Derby Day.